Started. Can you guys, this is tiny, right? You can see me over that. All right. So I'm going to be sharing this morning. We've been doing something called Passion Groups, for those of you who don't know. And the Passion Group that I'm a part of is called Rise Up, O Men of God. It's a group for men, in case you didn't catch that. And what we're doing in this group is, well, we'll get into that in just a second, but Lord of all, you know, that's a concept that we've been trying to teach our kids at home. And, you know, there's this idea, like Haley, you know, she's 2, she's testing boundaries and stuff. And there's this thing that we talk about, like, you know, who's boss? And so she'll say something, or mama will say something, or she'll say, like, no. And then she'll say, wait, who's boss? She's like, oh, mama's boss. And then Kelly's like, and who's mama's boss? And she says, God is. And we're like, that's great. You know, she knows how it works. So I'm home with her the other day. And she goes, you know, she's kind of testing the waters a little bit. And I was like, hey, who's boss? And she was like, daddy's boss. And I was like, that's right. And who's daddy's boss? And she was like, Uncle Matt. I was like, so then I was confused. I was like, wait, who's mama's boss? God is. I was like, hmm. So we're close. Matt, I'll report to you later. You know, in case you're thrown off, it is Mustache November for the young men in the church. And it got me to thinking, when was the last time that a man stood up here with a mustache and preached? Oh my gosh!
Oh! And a mullet too!
How about that? Alright, let's keep moving. Let's begin. So, what is my passion group about? Rise Up, O Men of God. So basically, we would get together and we would learn a manly skill. You know, there's just skills every man should know. And so we would learn a useful or sporting skill, and it would always relate to the character in the Bible, the man that we were learning about that week. So, of course, then we would transition into, we would read that week. There's a book that we have, and it has like a week's worth of lessons on each man. So we would focus on that and come together and discuss it. So let's keep moving. There's just an example of a skill that's useful. We'll keep moving. So today we're going to be talking about David.
Come on, Jack.
So David, you know, he's described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. When he was chosen to be king, God sent Samuel, who was a prophet, to go and anoint him. He didn't tell him who it was going to be. He just said, go to this family and, you know, you'll figure out who the right guy is. So he goes, and there's like all these like strapping, tall, like, you know, kingly looking guys. And he's like, oh, surely this is the guy. And God's like, no. What about that guy? He's really tall. No, not that guy. And so, you know, it kind of kept going until David, who's like the runt of the litter at the time. But God says in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his height, for I have rejected him. This is one of the brothers. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Yeah.
So David looked down at David's heart and said, that guy. Yeah. So what does it mean to have a heart after God's own heart? So today we're going to talk about what did that look like for David, and what can that look like for us today?
Come on, Jay.
So David and Goliath is the story that we're going to focus on. There are so many stories in David's life, and we could talk all day. But we're going to talk about this one. So, you know, we've always kind of heard this as like an underdog story. I'm going to put a little question mark at the end of that, because I'm not sure that's true. You know, three things I want us to walk away with, you know, are three things. David was full of zeal to glorify God. He had faith in the unseen, and he had a desire for all to know God.
Come on.
We're going to read a speech that he gave to a man before he killed him. So, in 1 Samuel 17:45, this is David the boy speaking to Goliath the giant. He says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel.
Amen.
Man, talk about taunting. That's like, let's go. So point number one, what made David do this? You know, he's a boy. Like, this is crazy, right? He's about to go out there and stand up next to this giant man who's been hurting people his whole life. So, you know, number one, he had zeal to glorify God. You know, in his phrase, he said, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. He couldn't stand it. You know, he came up, he shows up delivering like goods to his brothers. He's not even a warrior. And he hears this guy talking about God in a negative way. And he's calling out the armies of God, who David has such high esteem for. His God, who he's walked with his whole life, and the army of God, right? It should be like the most powerful force in the world. He just couldn't sit on his hands and allow this to happen. Mm-hmm. He saw the discouragement on the men around him and said, this can't be. This can't be. Someone has to do something. Oh, no one's doing something? I'll do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, his need to glorify God overrode all of his fear, all of his apprehension. He saw that guy out, this huge man, and just said, nope, I'm going to go out there and kill him. And then he said so. And then he did it. Yeah. You know, he saw a need and fulfilled it. So what does this look like for us today? You know, I think oftentimes there's two things that can happen. We can either not be in tune with or be in the state of mind where we're looking for needs to fill. Yeah. Or we see them and we just think like, nah, that'd be weird. Or like, that sounds hard. Or that sounds annoying or whatever, you know? You know, David's need to glorify God overrode his fear and apprehension. Do we see a need and shy away from it? You know, do we let that fear override our desire to glorify God? And if we're not aware of needs around us, we got to open our eyes because they're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I was shoveling my driveway the other day. It snowed pretty good. You all were there. And so I'm shoveling, and I look across the street, and I'm aware of a widow that lives on our street, and her driveway is just covered in snow.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I should do that. I should go shovel her driveway. And then I was like, I don't want to. And then I thought, she might be home, it might be weird, she might come outside. And anyway, I just felt like I gotta do it. So I went over there and shoveled her driveway. And when I was almost done, I just kept thinking to myself, you know, the whole time I'm like, okay, treasures in heaven, just, you know, least of these, keep going. Yeah. And she comes outside. And so I kind of just look at her, and she said, God bless you. And she raised her hand to the sky, and three times, it was kind of different, she said, a crown for you in heaven. And I thought, at first I was like, that was weird. But then I was like, you know what, that's really cool.
That's really cool.
That's literally why I'm out here, is to glorify God, and she came out and blessed me. Like, she literally Old Testament blessed me. So I believe that it will happen. You know, we don't want to be this guy, right? Yes, this is my truck. No, I will not help you move. If we see a need, we got to jump up and help, because who are we glorifying? It's not for us, right? It's for God.
Yeah.
Let's move on. You know, David had faith in the unseen. You know, one of the things that hit me as I was reading the story again this time, we're going back to that time where Samuel was anointing David. God said to him, do not consider his height, for I have rejected him. Think about that. David did not consider the height of Goliath. It wasn't even a factor for him. In fact, if you read David's language leading up to the fight, not one time was he like, is this a bad idea? Like, he's pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, like, everyone else was talking about, oh, he's got this spear that weighs 9 pounds, and David's like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to get out there and do it, because
yep.
God's with me. So even in his language, he just had this incredible amount of faith in God. You know, what's clearly visible is Goliath. I mean, he's huge. You can't miss him. Can you see God, you know?
Right.
But David knew. He knew that God was with him.
Yeah. Come on. Yep.
So, you know, David, or Goliath looks at this young boy, and it actually says that when Goliath saw him, he saw that he was a boy, and it angered him. You know, he said, what is this that you send me dogs to fight me? But David didn't see it that way. You know, this is where that underdog story part comes from, because David didn't see giant versus boy. He saw God versus giant. And, you know, as Nick was talking about a couple weeks ago, our strength compared to God's strength is just laughable. So David knew that. So for us today, you know, are there things in our life, you know, either a sin or a situation or just circumstances that can just seem like a giant to us? You know, we get all worked up about it and we just think, there's no way. You know, like, this is it. I'm done. I can't do it. You know, where does our faith disappear? Does it dissipate? Or are we quick to act on faith? You know, one of the things that popped into my head was, we made this crazy announcement decision. We're going to raise $60,000 for a church building, and we're going to do it over a summer. And I remember thinking, like, nope. Like, sounds good. Like, yes, we'll say $60,000 and we'll get to like $25,000. We'll be like, yeah, that was pretty good. But, you know, we did it. We had a lot of faith. And we raised $60,000. So in the summer, that's pretty crazy. Like, you know, when you step in, yeah, we should take a minute to celebrate that. That's a pretty crazy thing. And you know, we can, when we have faith in God, I believe, as I'm reading through the Bible, when God sees his people full of faith the way that David was, it's not like God came down in a burning bush like he did with Moses and said,
"Don't kill that guy."
Like, it didn't happen. What happened is David said, "My God is powerful, and this is going to happen."
Right.
And because of that faith, God was like, "Yep, that's what's going to happen."
Come on.
And so I believe that God loves it when we have that kind of faith. Let's move on. You know, the third thing that David had was a desire for all to know God.
Amen.
The very last thing he said in that speech was, "The whole world will know there is a God in Israel." You know, in this story, I think David shows up and he sees the situation. He sees this guy taunting the armies of God and, you know, talking about how their God had no power and they're not powerful and look at them quaking in their boots. And he's like, "What is going on? This isn't right." Because, you know, as he's talking to Saul, I would love to have been there in the conversation where a child, like, convinces a king that he should go out and fight the guy.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Like, either he was really persuasive or Saul was just that afraid.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're going to lose anyway, and you're willing to go do it, so go ahead. But, you know, he walked with God in a way. He was telling Saul, like, "No, no, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm a shepherd boy, yes, but I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear,
right,
with my hands, with these hands, see these?" And he knew, because he walked and he had a dynamic relationship with God, he had no mistake about who God was. You know, so he stepped up to the plate because he wanted, I believe, the Philistines for sure to know who God is, right? He wants them to kind of like, "Hey, stop it. Like, you guys are being nuts. You're disrespecting the God," right?
Yeah.
And then also, you know, he's looking at his own troops, and he's like, "They've forgotten. They don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
I'm going to remind them." He wanted them to know God the way that he knew God. You know, he would not even allow a giant to stop him from sharing his faith. He knew that if people could just get a taste of what he had experienced with God, they would believe in God's power.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think about this story, and I think, like, how silly. Like, for instance, there's this person at the hospital, this guy, I walk by him, you know, every time I work, and I think, like, I should reach out to him. And I don't. Like, I just keep thinking, like, I think you're weird. And so what? Like, you know, like, David wanted to share his faith, and a giant was there, like, in the way, literally. But he went out and fought him. So if a giant's not going to stop David, why am I going to let a silly thing like looking weird stop me?
Come on.
So what does this look like for us? You know, we have the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28:18, if you ever want to look it up. But we've been charged to share the gospel with the whole world.
Yeah.
And we cannot allow that our fear of people thinking we're weird, or persecution, or if a giant stood up and said, "I'm going to kill you," like, it doesn't matter. We can't let anything stop us from that mission, right?
Yeah.
We can take a page from David and be fearless.
Come on.
You know, we cannot let anything hold us back. We don't want to be like Andy Dwyer. I don't know who any of these people are, and at this point I'm afraid to ask. That's not us, right? No, we want to be like this guy. That's Hayden Ford. Embracing his Norwegian roots. You know, he, long time ago, before kids, before vans, before... Back in campus ministry times, you know, we had this challenge to publicly put together a lesson and share it in a public place. And I remember I told Hayden, like, "I think you should do it." And he was like, "No, that sounds bad." But he did. You know, he prepared a lesson, and I remember I think Jared called me and was like, "You should get here." And I was tied up at the time, but I was like, no, he can do it. He can do it. Go encourage him. And I listened on the phone to the whole thing. But I was so proud of Hayden because I heard this, "Excuse me," in the Wesleyan cafeteria, like lunchtime, packed. And I heard him get up and preach a message. That's incredible. Like, you know, he was afraid, but you know what? It wasn't going to stop him. And because of that, like, I've seen him do so many courageous things before and after that. But those moments, you know, it's like the bear and the lion that David knew, the things that he carried with him, and we can even be that for each other. You know, we read this story about David. I don't know about you, but I get fired up. We can do that for each other.
Come on.
So to recap, you know, David versus Goliath. I don't think it was an underdog story. What do you think? With us, it's the same thing, you know? It's not an underdog story. We're walking with the Almighty God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So the three things that we can walk away with today, we want to have zeal to glorify God. We want to have faith in the unseen over our circumstances. And we got to have a desire for all to know God.
Amen.
Let's pray. God, I just want to come before you and thank you so much for recording your word that allows us to learn about these men of the Bible who did incredible things in your name, God.
Yeah.
God, these really men and women, God, they just give us so much history that we can look at, God, and see who you are in response to the faith of your people. God, we are called to be faithful, and I just pray that you can help us to be bold and brave. God, full of zeal for you.
Yeah.
God, I pray that we could just have faith in you over any circumstance that comes our way, whether it's a sin that just bogs us down, God, or financial situation, or whatever it may be, you are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
God, I pray that we could have a desire as we walk with you and experience the incredible moments that we share with you, God, that we could just have a desire for others to have that too. God, we pray for this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So this time I'm going to have a couple guys come up and share from our passion group. Is Mark here? I'm going to have a guy come up and share.
Come on, Jake.
Hey. So yes, as Jay said, I was part of the men of the Bible group, and I kept thinking about how you all heard about David's life, but there are so many men that we learned about that are inspiring, that they did something in their life to change other people's lives in their way, and I'm thinking about the backstory of David and Jonathan, how Jonathan, the son of the king of this army, and he stepped out of his way to allow David to take his place.
Yeah.
And I just I feel like in my life I want to be more like Jonathan, where I can pave the way and I can fight the fight with my friend and be able to support them and back them up. And I think it's super encouraging to be able to hear about David and know that it's not David by himself. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
There's his friend and that did so much. And it's not just the men of the Bible. There's passion groups with women of the Bible that, you know, do the same thing. And it's just super, super awesome to know that, like what Jay was saying, we have the Bible to go to and to learn about, and these men and women of the Bible that encourage us and to be better people.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, let's stand and sing together as we get our hearts ready for the Lord's Supper.